and the wind blows through the trees. A-E-I-O-U. Don't go worrying about a thing, love. About a thing, love. As long as you're beside me. It's music from Maya Caballero, who was with us all the way back in 2009 and is here with us now. Welcome back, Maya. It has been far too long.
Hello, hello. It is so good to be back. I've missed Yellow Springs. Pardon me, I have a little bit of a cold. But yeah, it's really great to be here and be back at WYSO with you and my favorite radio station. I'm not just saying that because I'm here, and my favorite show. So I'm pretty excited.
So we were just sort of talking as we were playing that song. That is one that you played for us all the way back when, many years ago, a building ago for WYSO. It feels like a lifetime ago. Give us a little snapshot of, you know, you've got this album complete. Like, what have you been up to in the past couple of years, especially as you were getting that album ready to come out and releasing it?
Well, I left Yellow Springs. I returned to Tucson, Arizona. I was pushed a little bit by a Crazy Joe, someone we both know that introduced us, actually. He said, you got to go out there and finish your record and then go out and promote it to the world. And he's like, you know, you gotta go beyond Yellow Springs. But I was actually really happy here. I love this place, and it makes me I've always longed to come back, so I'm really happy to be here. When I left, I went to Arizona and I finished the record with Calexico, and they played most of the instruments on the record. I also worked with a lot of other musicians. There was Tuya Lund, one of my favorite upright bass players. He's from the band Giant Sand. And Naeem Amour, who's from France. There are just so many amazingly talented musicians that are in Tucson, Arizona. So I got lucky there. And it took a really long time to record the record because I was waiting for everyone to come back from touring. And I was just willing to wait until, you know, it got done the way I heard it in my mind with the people that I wanted to work with. And it was really a great project. I worked with Jim Waters over at Waterworks Studio and Nathan Sabatino over at Loveland Studio. So if you listen to the entire record, I think a lot of people will notice right away that a lot of the songs are very different from each other. Instead of usually when somebody makes a record, it kind of like all flows together and sounds very similar. And I think that a lot of that has to do with the fact that I recorded it at two different recording studios that have very different styles. And Jim Waters actually ended up inspiring me to write more songs to put on this record that weren't originally supposed to be on it. It was supposed to be a completely different record that to this day I've never recorded. So I've actually never recorded my first album. This turned into this album in the studio because he really liked this Dixieland 1920s sound that I was coming up with. And when I worked together with the other musicians, once you add the upright bass, the trumpet, the violin, the banjo, all these instruments, it turns into this like jazzy Dixie sound. And that's where that stemmed from. So yeah, got it done. That's pretty much the story.
Well, I was going to ask you, in working with, you know, two different engineers at two different studios, and what a fantastic complement of musicians accompanying you on this album, how much did those songs evolve throughout that process? And did they go in directions that you never could have anticipated when you were first conceiving of them?
Yeah, that's a good question. It turned into something completely different than it was meant to be or what I had planned for it to be. And like I said, working with all those musicians, once they all came into the studio, and this was my first record, so I was learning along the way. the different styles where you can record by laying down different tracks and mixing it together. Or what I learned was the best way, which actually Crazy Joe had told me.
And I know what you're going to say, because I know Crazy Joe, and I believe this too.
That the best songs and the most fun recording was when I learned towards the end of the record, putting all the musicians in the same room and recording all together. It was amazing. That's a little secret I'll give to some people out there who are maybe learning the ropes. I definitely think that's one of the best ways of recording.
It certainly does capture the energy of having people playing together and having that musical conversation. Sometimes I've talked to a lot of bands that have recorded either or sometimes both, and just in thinking about the energy in the room, it feels to me like the getting everybody in the same room and going kind of live to tape feels like the more desirable option.
Yeah, definitely. And it's definitely the most desirable way of recording. I'm just focusing on how much of a different direction this record ended up taking because of all of those musicians, and how I learned that music isn't about yourself. This album wasn't about Maya Caballero. It wasn't about me. It was about learning to work with other people. And when the more people you add to a project, the greater it becomes than yourself. It becomes something else. And that's why this record turned out to be so different than what I had anticipated initially.
Has that experience changed the way that you're writing songs now?
I went back to my roots. I loved working on this record. It became something more than myself, which was amazing to learn. To create something different. But I realized how much of who I am as a singer-songwriter, my style of more of like a soul. When I play solo with my acoustic nylon string guitar, it's a different sound. It's more maybe, I would say, melancholy, somewhat. It's just different. And the songs were originally that were supposed to be on the record that didn't end up on the record. That style that I initially had to begin with, was just me, and it was heartfelt. Some of the songs are very heart wrenching. And I think I've gone back to that. So the music that you'll hear in the future on the next record I'll record, is going to be more like the original stuff that a lot of you have never even heard. So.
We're going to hear a new single here in just a moment, but I want to play another one from the album. We're going to play the second track. Do you want to introduce this one at all and tell us a little bit about it?
Sure. This song is called Beni. It's spelled B-E-N-I. It's a word in French that means blessed. And I wrote it while I was in Versailles, France, on my first tour to France. And it was, I was sitting thinking about the idea of giving up on true love existing for myself or for someone. And just as you give up on that, believing in that, it walks into your life and you are blessed. You're Benny. So that's the story. Enjoy.
Let's take a listen to this one.
Comment allez-vous?
That's our guest, Maya Caballero, from her album, For Sale. And that one had just such a beautiful feel. And I can imagine that you could play that one either solo or with a full band and sort of retain that feel. And I'm curious, we were kind of talking about this right before we heard that, but when you have an album that has this full complement of musicians that you've collaborated with at all, how do you then sort of balance the sound of the album and the, you know, sound of you, Maya, solo, when you're choosing how to perform these songs live?
Ooh, that's a good one. Because it's hard after you've worked with all these amazing musicians. And when I'm fortunate enough to get paid well enough to hire or pay the musicians to come out and play shows, you don't want to go back to being solo. I hear every time when I'm playing alone, you know, the upright bass is supposed to be there and the drums are there. And I hear all these sounds that are missing. And I feel like it's unfortunate because the audience, I feel like they're almost being like robbed. Like, I think it's much more entertaining to watch a full band for people. And especially people who, a lot of people I tend to find don't listen to lyrics. And my music is really lyrically based. My songs tell stories. And so for, I think, maybe a lot of people out there, they'd enjoy it more, probably, especially this record, listening to it with other musicians. But then there's also like that niche of people that really appreciate a solo artist and like the stripped down, raw, natural sound and feeling. And when you're alone playing, you can really feel the music. You can slow down when you want. When I'm playing with a band, I'm focusing so much on, and it's stressful, on giving them room to play and keeping up with timing with the drummer. And it's you really have to work together. You can't miss a beat. And my music, I think, is a lot of it is very emotional. So there's pluses and minuses to playing with a band and playing by myself. I definitely appreciate being able to feel the music and express my emotions more to the audience when I'm alone.
And I'm sure you can sort of react to the vibe you're getting from the audience, because in addition to, you know, a dialogue with the other musicians on stage, when you're a performer, solo or not, you're also in dialogue with the audience.
Definitely. Yeah, I'm definitely more distracted paying attention to the other musicians when I'm playing with a full band. I just wanted to make note of the song Benny, because that was an interesting little twist on the record where it has this bossa nova feel. And there was a musician, he was actually the first musician I met from Calexico in Arizona, who was who is from Germany. His name is Martin Wenk. He's a very, very good musician. He actually took me, it's a long story, but he was the first one to record me ever, where he was like, we need to record these songs of yours. And we went to music stores and bought an M-Box. I'd never heard of it. He bought Pro Tools. I don't know if people still use that. Oh, they do?
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know anything very much about technology, but he got the whole shebang. He put it in. It was Joey Byrne's house he was staying in, because he was in town recording with Calexico for their record at the time. And he put this whole little home studio together. And he was like, you know, you really would be good at like a bossa nova. He's like, you should learn. And he took me to the sheet music store, and that's no longer there. So much of Tucson, Arizona has changed. And it was this old, really old music. I think it was the oldest music shop in Tucson, Arizona. And he bought me a couple of books, and he was like, and I remember one was Jobim. And that's where I learned about Astrud Gilberto. And that was a big influence on that song. And I would love to, I mean, I've never taken lessons, so I'm self-taught. I made up those chords because that's what I heard in my mind. And they just came out, luckily sounding, I guess. Hopefully people get that bossa nova feel from it. But it is a very difficult style to play if you're not trained musically. People have come up to me after shows and they're like, how did you know that chord, that jazz chord? That's a jazz chord. And I'm like, I have no idea. So I'll figure out how to write some more stuff like that in the future.
How fortunate and beautiful to be surrounded by a musical community that says to you, like, oh, hey, you know, try this thing that you've never done before and let's see what happens. Like, as an artist, that has to be just such a exciting, challenging, scary, yet so engaging experience.
Definitely. As you know, because it's been a while since you've seen me, it took so many years to develop these relationships with these talented people and deep friendships. And I feel very fortunate. It wasn't easy. You know, when it was all over, it's funny. You think you're going to, when you accomplish a lifelong dream or a goal, like for me, this record, you think you're going to jump up and down and be all excited. And it took a lot of work and a lot of time to make it all happen and to figure it out. And I just feel very lucky to have had this, you know, community of musicians from all different places, Yellow Springs, Arizona, Europe, that guided me and still do and make me feel, I guess, guided and cared for. And yeah. I feel very lucky, very thankful. Just in time for Thanksgiving,
it's perfect. And now you're working on new material. You have a new single that's also a result of a musical collaboration. Another great collaborator. Tell us a little bit about the new project, the new recordings that are happening.
Well, the crazy thing is, and I didn't plan to say this, but we were just saying being thankful in tomorrow's Thanksgiving. So I wandered into my aunt's house for Thanksgiving with my mother and my sister and her kids. And there was Dave Davies of the Kinks sitting at the table with his two sons. They were all in town from, you know, London. Excuse me. And me and Simon, one of his sons, Simon Davies, we immediately had a connection. And to make a long story short, ended up, you know, a couple years later. This was like 2 years ago, I think. We talked a lot about wanting to do something together, and he felt inspired by certain things that we experienced together, and he started writing, and he asked me to sing, and asked if I wanted to record and give it a shot. And so we're working on this EP now. And this is the first single that we're releasing for the first time on your show. And I'm really excited to be working with him. He is such a wonderful person, another great talent, and someone who's definitely taking me under his wing. And we're trying, as you'll hear, something very different.
Well, let's take a listen and we'll talk more about the upcoming EP and what you're working on and all that good stuff here in a second. But here it is, radio debut.
Hello, world, Sunshine.
World premiere of Hello, Sunshine.
I wonder what life would be if we allowed it to be what it be. Give me a guitar, see if I can sing a song with you. When you whisper in my ear, you're somewhere far away. I hear you in the sunshine, I hear you in the rain. Each step is broken, trotting on its merry way. Let's live life as a dance and let you drift away. Shout from far away, standing in the middle of the world.
Brand new music from Maya Caballero. So this is the first single from an EP that is forthcoming. Are we thinking that'll be perhaps a 2018 release, or are you guys just still sort of figuring out recording and all of that?
We're still figuring it out because he lives in London, so, and he tours with his dad quite frequently in the States. And when he comes through New York, where I currently reside, where I'm from, then we get moments here and there to try to work on something. So, yeah, we're still figuring it out. And we didn't want to wait until the EP was completed to share this with people. So I'm happy to finally have it out there.
Yeah. I'm always curious, as an artist and for songwriters especially, how do you sort of reach that point where you feel like something is ready for other ears, whether that's collaborators or even more so the audience? Because, you know, songwriting is such a personal thing. How do you sort of gauge when something is ready to go from being just yours to sort of entering other people's ears and hearts and going out and sort of being its own creation in the world?
Well, I think probably in every case, without thinking too much into it, my immediate thought was that I decided to share songs with people once people kept asking to hear them. Once I started sharing them little by little with someone, I'd be like, oh, this is something I'm working on. Or I'd play something in my living room. For example, the record For Sale, it was written, or the title is after the song For Sale on the album, which no one was ever supposed to hear. That was not, in my mind, a completed song. And my mom overheard me in my living room without me knowing she was listening in, playing it, and she said, at your next show, you have to play that. And I said, no, I refuse. I'm not going to. It's not a song. It wasn't meant for anyone to hear. I was venting after a day of working as a temp, an underpaid temp, and a starving musician. And so there was a lot of like angst in that song. And when she went to my show, she requested it from the audience.
Oh.
So I was forced to play it, and people came up to me afterwards and like, that's like my favorite song that you played tonight. So when I get a reaction like that, I share things, like I shared this song with a few close friends, and because I was excited about the project, and they were like, can I have a copy? I love it. I love it. And I said to Simon, we have to release this. We can't wait because we don't know when we're going to be finished. And it's never... This song actually is the premix. He's still working on it. But to me, it's perfect. I mean, when we recorded it, it was in my living room and with broken old headphones from my dad from like, I don't know, the 60s or something. Simon's old laptop, which is like on the fritz. I don't know why he still uses it. Simon, go buy a new laptop. And some microphone that wasn't necessarily broken, but it was like for instruments. It wasn't for vocals. Mm-hmm. And we didn't have a microphone stand. We like taped. I remember he taped something together so that it was near my mouth or something. And with all the quirks, when you hear it, it's funny. I think it's perfectly imperfect. I really like it. I don't think he should change a thing.
Well, and if you hadn't painted that picture, which I love, by the way, I love the imagery of, you know, you with this taped up microphone and the beat up laptop and the old headphones
and the
stuff.
Crappy guitar.
Yeah. But if you hadn't painted that picture, I would just assume, like, oh, yeah. So they went into a studio where everything was, you know, nice and shiny and, you know, all of the right everything and, you know, the new headphones and the mic on the stand and all of that. So that's so interesting that, you know, this beautiful polished thing comes from, you know, some of the craziest. I mean, we have that same experience in radio where sometimes the things behind the sound are completely different than what people picture and quirky and wonderful all at once.
Yeah, just listening to you explain that or describe that makes me think, it just makes me think that's life, you know.
Yeah.
We're all imperfect and we just have to try our best and work with what we have, and sometimes that's the most beautiful. Like, I find that life turns out better than you could have planned it or tried to make it happen. Like, you can't write this stuff, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. But it's also a testament to Simon Davies at what a great sound engineer he is and songwriter. And I'm super happy to be working with him and excited to see where this leads.
For sure. I will be excited to hear more of these recordings as they manifest. It's very much something to look forward to. In the meantime, what does 2018 look like for you? Are you going to be traveling again with your music as I know you do?
Mm-hmm. I hope so. Like I was telling you before, I like to travel to Europe every year. I try to go on a tour. I'm not sure where to next. I'd love to tour. I was supposed to tour Ireland last year. Due to unfortunate circumstances in life, I had to cancel. So I'm still looking forward to putting that back together. But I think 2018, I'm going to go to Italy. And I don't know anything about the music out there. So if anybody has any interest in what I'm doing that does, I'd be happy to, you know, hear if anybody liked me to play out there. And 2018, I would like for it to be what I've been doing the past couple of years, which is a true dream for me in music. I think what I was really meant to do was work as a recording artist. Performing and being in the spotlight, I've never really wanted to be in the spotlight. So it's very difficult for me. You know, I get anxiety and stage fright and over the years it's stressful. I love it. I love the outcome once you're finished and the relief and that it's a sense of accomplishment. You get a sudden sense of accomplishment from performing. But I really love being in a studio, working on films, and that's like a whole nother way of watching how you collaborate with other people's ideas. And you have to like be willing to let go and see what somebody creates. And I love just sitting there like watching a film for the first time, and there's nothing like all of a sudden your song creeps in and you see how they mixed the music with the cinematography, and it blows my mind every time. I'm like, wow, I would have never thought of creating that image with my music, because I have my own stories in my mind of where those songs came from. So I really love doing that, and I hope to continue doing that with this company I work with in New York City. It's a VR, virtual reality sound design company, and that's so exciting too, because the new future of technology, we're all going to be listening to music, watching music videos, watching movies, playing video games. I mean, it's already started through virtual reality where you place these goggles on and you're in like a 3D world. It's bizarre. It's really cool. And it brings life, I think, to the music more. Yeah.
How interesting as a musician to sort of span the whole gamut of, you know, performing as a solo artist or with a band in a space with people, but to also sort of create that experience in a virtual world. That is, as an artist, like, how fascinating and interesting is that? That is so cool.
It is amazing. It's like magic. I mean, when you put on those goggles or because the sound is in your ears. Like, we're used to listening to music through speakers, but a picture that you're going to be always listening to the music and hearing it clearly against your ears, with these hopefully good headphones.
Yeah, yeah.
And the clarity, I mean, I think it just makes it much more of an intimate experience with the music.
And are you and the folks you're working with, this is like super nerdy question, mm-hmm. but as an audio nerd, I have to ask, are you thinking about things like spatial effects, since people are listening in headphones, sort of creating, you know, creating the sound so that you're having different elements of the sound happening spatially in different spots for the person experiencing it?
That would be a great question to ask them. I wish I could tell you, because again, I'm not a technically savvy person, but I definitely would say, if I could, on their behalf, that that is something they do. I notice when I've heard the recordings that yeah, they're going to have to whatever that is that you just explained, do that.
Yeah.
Their sound design, I mean, yeah, they're working on, making the sound for it. So I don't know.
Well, I ask because we think about that a lot in podcasting and in especially podcasts that are more fictional or tell a story where a listener is placed in an environment. So having made one such podcast and really thinking hard about how all of that works, I'm like, ooh, thinking about that application to music to me is like, oh, that is
interesting. Well, I would say, come on down to New York City.
Come visit
me, and I will take you to the studio. It is a fascinating experience I'd never seen or heard of before, and I guess it's because also it's a kind of a new technology. Mm-hmm. So I would love to show you and introduce you to them, and that's actually where I plan on recording my next record. Another group of people that are helping guide me, and actually with the VR, so far I haven't. They've asked me to use my own songs or to write songs for them, but so far I've been singing songs that they've written, which is a whole nother experience.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
That's very, very difficult to learn that. It's like all these lessons you just keep learning, which I guess is maybe that's why I'm also excited about this direction, because even though it's hard or it's scary to try to understand something new and learn it and accept it and let go of control, I guess the idea of learning is growth. And so if you're not growing, if you're just stagnant, you might not be happy with what you do. So maybe that this is one of the reasons why I'm really enjoying what I'm doing with them.
And so cool too, the unexpected lessons, I'm sure, the things that, you didn't even know that you would learn or that would affect what you're doing. Just quirky little things that can really influence.
I wish I could show you the work that I've worked with them on, because they took me and my voice, and everyone out there would not believe that was me. It's a much, the material I worked on so far with them, it's a very like darker sound, mm-hmm. Maybe pop rock. It's just dark. I don't know how to really I don't know how you would describe it. Kind of like, I don't know, what would you say? Like Lord.
Okay. Okay.
A direction I would have never seen myself go in. And that fascinates me. At first, I didn't feel comfortable. I was like, this isn't me. But I was like, well, I'm working for them. Mm-hmm. Listen to that's what they're hiring me for, to direct me on what they hear me doing and see what comes of it. And it's interesting. A lot of people over the years have said to me, be careful what movie you agree to like let your music be in, or what projects you work on, or... a lot of people that are professionals would probably say you should get contracts. And I find it more important to just be free, keep an open mind, and let go of control and see what you can create with others. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. Our guest is Maya Caballero. Her full-length album is called For Sale. We just heard a new single from her as well. And we'll post links up to get the album and to keep tabs on future releases on our Facebook page. We're at facebook.com/kaleidoscope radio. But Maya, before you go, I want to play one more from the full-length album. Would you introduce this one for us?
Oh, definitely. This is called The Waltz. It was recorded at Loveland Studio and with Tuya Lund on upright bass and he played the piano as well. I love that little part, little bit of magic he put in the song. This is the waltz.
Maya, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, and happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Happy Thanksgiving.
I was taken from rags and traded for fool's gold, sculpted by an artist and cut from a mold. When he whisked me away with his imagination, placed my heart on display like an